Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy 5 or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When I go to Sacramento, I will pump up Sacramento.
Turner Sparks just got married and has moved home to America after 12 years living in China. Sir Michael Ira Kaplan has 2 kids, a wife, a job, and has spent his entire life in the USA. Neither one can figure their country out. This is Lost in America.
All right, everybody, welcome to Lost in America, episode 186. My name's Turner Sparks.
I'm Kaplan.
You can feel that energy. You can find me.
I'm drinking my iced coffee here. I'll bring it for the second half of the episode.
Bring it up a notch. You can find me at Turner Sparks on Instagram. You can find Kaplan at Cap'n America on Instagram. Also, this pod's on Instagram. Where are we, Cap?
We are at Lost in America Pod.
That's correct. On the podcast today, we have the great Jeremy Kerrigan, the playwright Jeremy Kerrigan, the thespian.
The one and only.
The one and only, the man about town, what do they call those people? Renaissance man, Jeremy Kerrigan.
The Shakespeare of our times is what they really call Jeremy Kerrigan.
Shakespeare of our time. He wrote the Broadway play Lifespan of a Fact that Kaplan and I both went to see. I went on a date with my wife to see that play.
Right. And now, aren't you so grateful that we went to see, like, any plays I've seen, anything that I'm so grateful I did it, because who knows if that'll ever exist again. Broadway may never come back, so.
Broadway may never come back. Hopefully it will, for Jeremy, but
it might be a while.
The main reason why we're having him on today, forget all the Broadway stuff. As Kaplan said, that may never come back. Who knows? The main reason we're having him on is because he got coronavirus in January, right?
He got it before it was cool.
Before America knew anyone had gotten it.
He got it when we literally thought it was a Chinese virus. Forget, you know, we didn't think we even had it here.
Yeah, he had it in New York City, I believe. He might have been gallivanting across the globe at that point. I'm not 100% sure. But we saw him in March. We're going to talk to him about that. But he also, you know, at that point in mid-March, when we found out about that, it was, whoa, it's in America. We thought this was only in China, right? Oh, it's in America. And then everybody went, you know what? I think I had it. Remember that whole wave?
Everybody did that to the point of like overkill. Like overkill. Anybody who had a cold for the past 3 months or had an upset stomach or a cough said they had it.
But here's the thing. But Jeremy actually did have it.
He did. He took the test. Yeah.
He took the test. He had it. Now he has the antibodies and he's been giving out antibodies to people like it's Skittles at the playground.
I think is it donating for the plasma? Is that what we'll find out exactly? I don't think giveaway antibodies were like he didn't make his own vaccine. That's not. But
No. Yeah, he's not just hooking people up to his veins. Hey, you got the virus? Come hook up to my veins. He's not doing that. He's going down to a food bank or a virus bank or whatever those are.
And I hope he's going to the right one.
He's donating for money. Maybe
I think it's for charity. He's a charitable man.
Well, he's out of work, as we all are, so I wouldn't put it past. Well, just we'll find out.
We'll find out.
We'll find out if he's making money off this. But either way, he's doing the right thing. And I want to find out more what it's like. We're still going to see what it's like to have Corona, what it's like to have Corona in January when no one even, I bet you could have gone to the hospital and said, I have coronavirus. And you know what they would have said at Cedars-Sinai, Cap? Get out of here.
Yeah, you're a crazy person.
You're a nutcase.
Were you in China? And he would have said, no, I wasn't in China. And they'd say, crazy. Yeah.
It's flu season. We got flu.
It's flu season, buddy. You have the flu. You didn't get your flu shot. Next year, you'll learn.
Next year, you'll learn. That's it. So, Cap, let's get on to you, though, because we got some stuff to do. You are going to be famous tomorrow.
I am going to be famous.
Tell the people why.
Yeah, that's why I'm a little worn out now, because I've been on the phone with the being interviewed, a full day interview. It's a very important story coming out about me tomorrow, feature in the New York Post, which I believe we all agree is the best newspaper of record, correct?
That it is now. Yeah. I wouldn't have said that before 45 minutes ago.
Well, it's like number one or number two on what we use for the news for this podcast. So I think it makes it the newspaper of record.
That's
along with
very
the Daily
true.
Mail.
And Ye has been in it. My wife's been in it.
And now and there is a Michael Kaplan who writes for them. But this time they decided that they needed they're doing a story about the fireworks situation.
Now explain that, because I don't know if everyone knows what that is. I've just seen that it's these fireworks are getting shot off, right? All times of night. What's going on?
So yeah, we're like in a war zone here. I don't know if you've been in New York, you've been away from, you're not serving our country. You're not in New York. You don't know what's going on, but
serving our country.
Yeah. The people who didn't run. I'm one of the people who didn't run. I stayed put through the entire quarantine. I'm on the other side. I should be basking in, this should be the twilight years. I should be celebrating while the rest of the country's all getting sick and dying. In New York, we're the ones who have the last laugh. We have our summers. You know, we have a very low rate. Our governor canceled his daily show because we don't need him anymore.
He's beaten the virus.
He's beaten the virus. Mission accomplished. So we should be feeling, I should be enjoying. This should be the twilight. Everybody should be. But you know what the problem is? These fireworks are going off all hours of the night. And it's like, it's keeping us up, especially those of us I'm sure if you're a light sleeper, it's keeping you up. I'm not a light sleeper, but you know what I did? You know who is? Pancakes Kaplan. My dog is terrorized every time she hears one firework, and it's been constant every single night for weeks now.
Now, when is fireworks. This? Is this now? When you say fireworks, you don't mean like firecrackers. You mean like a 4th of July going 10 stories in the air, exploding in the sky. Correct?
Yeah, I mean in the beginning, some people were like, "Don't complain. It's just kids being kids." It's like I was a kid. Yeah, we could get firecrackers and set them off when we shouldn't have. We didn't have fireworks that are going off. They're as good as, I would say, like a small town's 4th of July fireworks show. That's what we're getting.
Like an Allentown 4th of July.
I mean, Allentown's is not bad. But yeah, Allentown's in Pennsylvania, so they're pretty good because that's where they're.
I didn't mean to insult you. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they only insult our 4th of July. But yeah, they're pretty solid fireworks shows. Like you wouldn't come away disappointed. And I would say if it was once a month, we're celebrating something. It's a holiday, a sporting event, something. We won a war. I'm all for it. But it's every single night. It's like you've lost. When 4th of July actually comes, I've never, like, who cares? We should skip it. So it's every single night. It's at all hours of the night. Last night, I was in this position where I was up. We were up till 5 in the morning because they literally started at 1 in the morning. They stopped at 2:30. I found out later because a police car drove by and the kids moved to a different spot. And then they resumed from like 3 till 4:45 right outside our window. I was not only there outside our window, there where my car's parked. So I was doubly concerned because I'm watching outside to see if my car is going to get damaged while my dog is having literally she's having tremors. She's having crazy anxiety. She's shaking. She can't, she's like,
what a phenomenon, Kaplan. And now is this happening because kids are these college kids or whatever they are? They don't have to get up and go to work in the morning because nobody has to work in the morning. And so, this is just what they do. They get up at 1 in the morning and just ruin the neighborhood from 4 to 5 a.m.
You know, the journalist, the New York Post person was asking me, I hope.
Well, wait, we skipped this part. Let's just say that you've been complaining to me for weeks on end about this, to producer Matt, to anybody who listens.
Right.
You're complaining so loud that the New York Post heard you complaining.
Right. Well, we've talked about it on the podcast. That's what I was going to get to. We talked about it on the podcast. This podcast gets shared. People talk, the Patreon shows get shared. somehow they got to the New York Post. They contacted me. They said, we hear you've been rabble-rousing. We hear you've got some opinions on the subject. Would you like to talk? I said, let's go. Turn the tape on. So
they came over to your house.
Yeah. Well, we did it by phone because of coronavirus. Okay. You know, but they, you know, she asked me about why they're doing it, and I don't know. You know,
But are you the expert?
I'm no expert on the causes of terrorism. I'm just saying it's terrorism.
Yeah.
I don't know. People are bored. There's nothing to do. If playgrounds opened up, great. But you know what? Older kids don't play in the playground. They might want to play some basketball. There's no hoops. They might want to have a summer job. There's no jobs. Like, there's problems.
But, Cap, do you realize that this article is going to come out tomorrow, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
You are now. Out, yeah. You did not the call face. The cops on any of these people, did you?
Well, I'm glad you asked that, because I've said this earlier on an earlier podcast. I was turning into a Karen, right?
Exactly.
I didn't call the cops, but then what ended up happening is the police have just done nothing. Like, it literally, it's been going on for weeks and the police don't do anything about it. It's so obvious where they are. You can look out the window. I could see exactly where they are. So people start doing 311. And then people at 311, there's a thing on the 311 website on where it says fireworks complaints. It literally says, please call 911 as well, because they need to document it. Otherwise, they're saying they're never going to do anything about it. So last night at 4:30 in the morning, when we were still up and there was no end in sight, like, as I said, I told the reporter this. I said, if you know what time it's going to end, it's okay. Like a regular fireworks show, you know when it's ending. Your dog, you have no idea. It's going to go on forever and it just keeps going. So at 4:30 in the morning, I said, all right, time to call. So I call 911, and it's the weirdest thing, because you're calling for show. You know, like, I know the police aren't going to come because of my call. It's not like a robbery in progress. And so when she's asking me the how many people are doing it, she's asking me for ages, for races, all sorts of descriptions. And I'm like, I'm just going through the motions, because I know there's no point. I just need to get on record that this is the location. So I was like, I can't see that well. I see outside the window. I see a bunch of people. I don't know.
What's the salute? Well, can I ask another question? I got more questions here. How do these kids, this stinks of a conspiracy to me. I don't think I'm buying this, that these are high school kids. Cause how are these high school kids getting their hands on fireworks that shoot 10 stories in the air? Aren't those reserved for firemen? And listen, I'm a first responder guy, you know me.
Oh, you're big, you've done a lot of fundraisers for the first
responders. I support the firemen, you know, but could this be two bad apples in the fire department who are gotten?
No, well, all right. There's been a crazy conspiracy going around of that this is the police are doing this coordinated. Okay, they're giving them the kids because they want to people to be mad that there's no police presence. And the only part of the conspiracy, it doesn't add up. It's totally crazy. It's all over the country. It's all over the city. But
it's all over the country.
Yeah, it only adds up in the sense that I will believe that the police aren't enforcing things a little bit because they want people to be like, oh, you need the police now. I could believe that, but I don't believe they're giving them out. I believe, first of all, it's not just when you say kids, that's like a term of whatever. People say kids because they don't want to take it seriously. It could be people in their 20s.
Kaplan, come on. You know, boys will be boys. That's my
right. Stance. So it could be 25-year-olds. It could be
boys.
And they're running in Pennsylvania, where I'm from, fireworks are legal. It's been known for years that kids from New York, people from New York come over. There's always been a cop. Every time I drive home on Route 78, near 4th of July, especially when you're that time here, you always see cops hidden out on the highway right in the border of New Jersey. And they're not there that's not a speed trap. They're there to pull people over randomly and see if they have fireworks, because
All right. Enough of this, Cap.
No. So what I'm saying is they're bringing them in from Pennsylvania. That I know. But the point is they must be like, it's like there must be an op. It must be very organized, because there's so many, and it's an endless supply.
Organized is what I'm saying, Cap.
But it's not organized by a conspiracy theory. I'm saying it's organized by people who are making money. They're selling them to kids and stuff. The kids themselves aren't getting them. Someone's selling them in New York.
So you're telling me that out of nowhere, some entrepreneurs just appeared out of the clear blue sky 3 weeks
been there.
Ago.
There's a higher demand than usual. Because,
Kaplan, let me read you some stats.
Yeah.
Last night, Oakland, California, nonstop, 8 p.m. to 2 a.m., fireworks going off. I'm watching video right now on Twitter of this. Oakland, California. Is that, are they getting them from Pennsylvania?
No, they're getting them. I don't know what the laws are okay. in all the states of the
New
country.
York City,
I'm saying in New York.
Boston,
I'm always speaking in New York.
Chicago, Los Angeles, California. Kaplan, you think this is just out of the blue? This came out of nowhere. Come on.
No, it's a thing to do that it's like, oh, it's something to do. I mean, you're a conspiracy person. What do you think that all across the country there's some grand conspiracy where people are able to, that's like fringe.
It makes more sense than teenagers got their hands on.
It's not just teenagers.
Fireworks.
I'm telling you, a lot of these people have cars and stuff.
I had a car when I was a teenager.
First of all, every summer there's fireworks going off and it's crazy. But I want to prove my theory. I want to make money off this or stop the problem. So I want Dr. Bob Kaplan is an upstanding. He's got a business in Eastern PA, which is right across the border, which is where these fireworks shops, some of them are. He's an upstanding citizen there. They know him well. They know he's not a criminal. He's from Easton. He's born and bred there. I want to get him
son.
To go. Favorite son. I want him to get in there, to go in there. Maybe we can raise some money just to buy them all, buy up the entire store. All right. And we can do one or two things with this. We could either destroy the merchandise, throw it in the Delaware River, so no one can keep me up at night,
like the Boston Tea Party.
Or do we do that? Or do I go up to one of the parks where they're shooting them off and just wait for the kids to come or whoever it is to come and say, hey, I got some merchandise, guys, and try to make some money out of the suffering. What do you think I should do?
Well, I don't care either way. What I'm excited about is that tomorrow you're going to be this snitch white guy in the New York Post complaining about how your doggy gets upset by the firewalks. And everybody in the city's going to hate you.
I mean,
and
I'm
our pod's going to take off with hate.
I'm
listeners.
Fine. I made sure to, yeah, to focus a little. I made sure to plug the pod.
Good.
I said, what do you want? You know, I said my co-host of Lost America podcast.
Good.
And I was aware of that. So I was trying not to send any photos that were too I didn't
like
send
you
any
in a
professional photos.
Sweater.
Yeah, exactly. Like, cause Randy's like, oh, there's a great family photo of the pancakes. And I'm like, I'm not sending the cardigan shot.
you with the tennis racket.
And then she's like asking me, she's like, wants a picture where the dog's looking more like morbid. I said, well, I don't take pictures of her during the fireworks. Like, I'm not making her suffer. You know, like, so I could do that tomorrow if you want.
Like, but with pancakes making a frowny face?
Yeah, like a dog's making a frowny face. They actually, you know what I've learned is that dogs, at least pancakes, she makes like, when she's super anxious, she makes like, it's like a grin. It's like a stupid grin that won't go away. Like, that's like, they're just confused. They're like freaking out, but they're grinning. So people don't know. There's a lot of bigger. I said this to journalists. So I'm sure one would get cut, but I said there's much bigger problems in the world. I'm aware of that. But if you care about animals at all, I don't see how it's like. It's not just my dog. Every dog in New York City and in Oakland or wherever you're telling me they are is suffering right now. It's every single night. So if you care about animals, you care about animals. I care about animals. Sue me.
All right. Well, maybe I will. Maybe I'll sue
maybe
you.
We'll get, and,
for
oh,
caring about animals.
Yeah. I hope to get some hate mail out of it. That would be great.
We will definitely get hate mail. Listen, Kev, everyone, you know, we've had so many people on this pod who they get their pod, they leave the pod and they get on Jimmy Fallon show or Saturday Night Live, what have you, Daily Show. Finally, about time you got some bump at it. We got a bump out of this.
Yes,
and
exactly.
And the pod bump works for you. You're in the New York Post tomorrow. By the time people are listening to this, if you're listening to this on Tuesday or any day after, check the New York Post right now. And you can see Kaplan whining about his dog. All right.
And one other thing, can I say, if you're listening to this podcast and you hate it or love it, either way, if you want to leave, if you hate the story or love the story, leave a review in the iTunes. All right. And give us give us 5 stars and tell me I'm a terrible person.
Exactly. As long as you get 5 stars, you can say whatever you want.
Because I was going to say, we got one iTunes review recently. And I want to mention it. Then we got
read
a 5-star
review. Read the review.
Yeah. From this girl, a 5-star review. And it's from this girl, Irish girl. And she just says, love this so much. I'm currently lost in America, and this pod is getting me through the quarantine.
Oh,
so
that's great. What's her
review.
Name? Give her a shout out.
Irish girl's her name.
Her name is Irish girl.
Well lady. The well lady is her screen name in iTunes. So The well lady, thank you very much. We need our fans out there. If you're not going to sign up for our Patreon page, the least you could do, give us a 5-star review.
The least you could do is give us $5 and sign up for that, the Patreon. The second least is just give us a review. Speaking of that, we have 49 Patreon subscribers. Kaplan and I, just us, no guests. We do this every week, Tuesday through Friday, 4 extra shows a week, half hour each. Just Kaplan and I keeping you up to date on the news, everything that's going on in the world, coronavirus and such. Cap, should we get to Jeremy Kerrigan?
Yes, let's zoom them in.
Zoom them in. We're back with Jeremy Carrickin. Welcome to the show, man.
Great to be here, Turner. Great to be here, Cap. How are you?
Carrickin American.
Carrickin.
Look at that
American
background.
For those of you only listening, we also have this show on YouTube. The interview portion of every week is now on YouTube, and I encourage you to go watch it.
Yeah, you gotta see this one.
You can see Jeremy with the fantastic background with the Carrickin American. Do you have this, like, are you doing a lot of interviews these days?
I did this one because of a monologue that I did a while ago about the death of President James Garfield. So it was just a little
good monologue topic.
It was a bizarre death the way that man died.
How did it happen? I don't know anything about that.
Well, his doctors killed him. He was shot by a guy named Charles Guiteau, but the bullet wouldn't have killed him. And so, you know, this guy, Dr. Bliss, and that's his first name, Dr. Bliss. He comes in, it's like, oh, I'll fix him up. No time to wash my hands. And like, you know, so he, you know, they start looking for the bullet. They can't find it. They jab him full of, they jab him with these metal prods, stab his liver. They call Alexander Graham Bell in with his metal detector. And he's on a metal bed with metal springs. That doesn't help. It just doesn't work well. They shove yogurt up his ass to feed him. And
those are the days.
And of course, you know, Bliss gets paid like $500,000 for the trouble. Garfield's dead. And he gets to publish this book about how I fed yogurt up to presidents.
This is why
1600,
you know,
he died of infection.
Kaplan and I do like a pre-show meeting every time to be like, and how do we want this interview
to go?
Where's
this one gonna go?
Yeah.
We did not go up James Garfield's ass. We didn't come up with that.
With Carrickin, we're always
on my bingo card.
We're always like, we can plan a couple questions, but this is gonna go anywhere.
Yeah.
Didn't expect Garfield.
You do a YouTube history, like a YouTube channel, right? Where you do history lessons every once in a while, like this one?
Yeah, this was a monologue that I wrote years ago for a theater here in Baltimore. And I decided to try to do it myself because I was learning a video editing program. Thought I'd tape it and put it together. So, yeah.
Well, I want to start here. The last time we saw you in person was early March. You told us that we're like, hey, how you doing? We came, we hung out with you, and we're like, how you doing? And you're like, oh, I'm okay now, but I'm just getting over a sickness. Mm. Well, this might have been late February, actually.
I think it was February.
When we saw you.
Late February, yeah.
And come to find out months later that sickness, we think, was coronavirus, right?
It was COVID-19. Yeah, exactly. It was, after what, in April or May, I tested for the antibodies. And that was the only time I was really sick. So like 4 days of, fever. And that was it. It was not serious at all. So.
And when was that? In January, February?
February
is
what it was. So, yeah.
Okay. So before, I mean, like, I think as of on record,
early February
on record, there was zero cases in New York City at that time.
Yep.
Holy cow.
Patient zero. Yep.
I don't know if I'm patient zero, but I think I got it at JFK. I went to Nicaragua and, you know, I was sick for about 4 days in Nicaragua. So late January, early February.
And did you spread it to Nicaragua? Do we know? Did you do any tracing after the fact?
I didn't talk to many people down there because I was sick. I was like, I didn't want to get whatever it was. I didn't want to get anybody sick. So I probably got people sick on the plane, but I wasn't.
That's how it spread. It's amazing. You think about it, like early on when nobody knows this even exists and you're running off to Nicaragua.
Yeah.
And super
spreader, that's the whole reason why it spread, you know, like the SARS was it 2003? It just, the reason why it didn't spread, or one of the reasons why it didn't spread so much, is because people just didn't travel around as much, especially Chinese people at that point, right? They weren't as mobile. Right. And now they're saying,
well, it's also that this has a longer latency period. So who knows? It was like, five, 6 days latency. I had to pick up a friend from the airport and then, you know, or exactly 5 days after I got back from the airport. So yeah. So,
yeah.
Who knows?
And what was it? You said having it was not a big deal for you in your case.
It felt like less bad than the flu for me. It felt like the flu, but just not quite as bad. Like when I've had the flu, I've been out for a week. This was like 3 or 4 days of about 101 fever. So everything hurt, but it wasn't, you know, I was never in danger.
Cough? Did you have like a bad cough or anything? Or?
Didn't even have a cough. Nothing. So got up and, you know, after the fever, walked around, had some sort of intestinal trouble, but then it was fine.
Maybe you had the European one that Cuomo likes to talk about.
Yeah, the European mutation. Exactly. Yeah. Oh, the, yeah.
Early. That's an early mutation, though. I think he... Yeah, the real deal, well, the Wuhan version.
We have another...
might have had the Wuhan version, yeah.
We have another friend who got it, and almost he had it early March, but almost the exact same story as you. He said it was almost... It was 3 days for him of sick, kind of sick, and he wouldn't have even thought he had it, except that his girlfriend got tested, and she had tested positive. They both, like, kind of got sick and then had it. So... Since that time, so you found out in what, I guess, May, so then you would have had the antibodies from February until, and are you still, like we were saying before you came on, that you have been going and getting, I don't know, what, donating?
Yeah, I've been giving blood because there's, you know, early on I was a supporter of the convalescent plasma project.
Plasma. And,
it's called the Convalescent Plasma Project. An Italian doctor who is the head of a lab here in Baltimore, Arturo Casadevall, he has this whole project. It works like a, it's kind of like a vaccine. It's just, you know, giving people more of the same antibodies to get them used to the, you know, if they're getting really sick, it just allows them to fight off the disease faster and better. So it helps if people have the antibodies, they can go to the Red Cross and give, you know, a unit or two of their blood every 28 days and you'll help save some lives.
So they give it to people.
Hopefully as many of the people I killed, you know.
come on.
You don't kill anybody you know of. It's like having kids. You don't know about it.
That's right. It's like all the children I've had in other ports.
Yeah. did you get a test? Because my uncle did the same thing here in New York. He was an earlier, not as early as you, but he had it in early March. And I know he went and they did like a test to see if he was a candidate for the plasma. Like not everybody who has the antibodies is a candidate, right? You have to get like a score or something or
well, this is again, one of these things that the FDA or the CDC, whoever is, or the NIH or whoever is sponsoring these tests, the protocols don't allow people to register for the official double blinded experiments. Unless you had first a test for the active infection and then the antibodies. I didn't even know I had the infection, so that was impossible. So I'm not able to be part of that particular convalescent plasma project experiment. But the American Red Cross doesn't care if you've had an active infection test, just as long as you test positive for the immunoglobulins.
So you just go get the antibody test because you're like, oh, you kind of put the pieces together? Like, oh, maybe that's what that was in February?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I wanted to know, everybody was starting to go like, oh, you got to wear a mask to go around. You shouldn't go out ever. And I thought, well, wait a minute. I wonder if I'm even still susceptible. And I wonder if I could volunteer for things. And that's what I did. So I was just, my primary care provider was offering it. And I said, okay, I'll try.
All right. A couple more questions on this before we move on to this superpower you now have. wait, what about, do they tell you, do they give you any information that we might not know about? Like, does it actually work giving people the antibodies?
I'm pregnant.
Say pregnant.
There's been no confirmation that you are immune if you have these antibodies. However, if it's like previous coronaviruses, you should be for at least a season. However, you know, they haven't had any time, effort, or money to put into the, you know, double-blinded studies to confirm this. But they just imagine you're probably likely to be immune.
But I mean, like the people you're donating to, it's helping them for sure. But we don't know yet.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No. You don't get like a. You don't get Kimbra. A letter from them. Like you saved my life. Thank you, kind sir.
I'll be your friend forever now. Blood no, buddy, they don't tell you brothers. Who I've saved. Yeah, they tell you that every unit you should be able to. You know, you may save as many as three people with that.
That's amazing. Or,
it's like planting a tree in Israel. You know, you got to see a picture of it or something. I mean,
just... Or for all I know, the orderly is carrying the bottle like trips and it falls. It's like, oh, well,
you never made it there.
Well, this is a great, I know there's no Christmas here, but there's a great holiday gift to people. It's like, I've donated plasma in your name.
That's next year's trendy
Shiraz?
That's the festive.
I've done it in your
last
name.
Last year it was urine. This is terrific.
That's better than the human fund. Yeah, that's a great idea for next year. Did you know, when you took the antibody test though, like yours was still early on. So you, there was positive. Cause I know there's a lot of people are confused about which ones are accurate. Do you know which ones are the most accurate or way to do it? Or
took, you know, I asked them, at my PCP, which ones they used, Johns Hopkins proprietary one, which tests three different, immunoglobulin factors, IgA, M and, G. And they all came back positive. So that's just a very much more likely positive. So if one of them comes back, it might be a false positive.
Well, Johns Hopkins, that sounds like a good place to get it checked
that's
out.
That's a good one. Yeah.
You know, I know people that are going down to the strip mall and they're going, hey, there's this place next to Kinko's. And they
in the mall.
They get it. Yeah, it's great. 60% great. Works, but you know.
Well, it's a great place to contract it.
Yeah, well, sure, exactly. Well, you got it now. there's three, you know, these three immunoglobulins that you can get. They test it what's called an ELISA, and that's the test is the blood based test. The the immunoglobulin serum assay is what the ISA stands for. So
it seems to work. It's great. And then, so you don't, when was the last time you gave plasma?
College, I think.
Oh, I mean, in this scenario, like in this year.
About a week ago. And they call me back immediately. It's like, we tested it again. You got more. And I'm like, okay.
You still got it, is what I'm saying.
You still got it. Yeah.
Amazing. Still got
it. You didn't lose because it burns off after a few months. To some people, right? They say you can lose.
It's possible to burn off. Yeah.
But we don't know.
Yeah, we don't know. I mean, because you lose influenza, in immunity over the seasons, either your immunoglobulins wear off or the virus is mutated enough that your blood can't recognize it. So,
okay. Well, I was listening to the guy who's like the head of the CDC for Harvard or whatever you want to call that.
Right.
That's two different things, but okay. Okay.
Whatever the Harvard's version.
Harvard doesn't have their own CDC.
Infectious disease specialist.
The head of their own CIA. Epidemiology, I guess, at Harvard.
Listen, the CDC is currently inept, so I think Harvard's invented their own. Yeah, he was saying that he thinks into the year he was for a vaccine. Yeah, he thinks we'll have one. Well, he thinks we'll have 3 to 4 to pick from by the end of the year. So all you have to do is get your, as long as your antibodies hold on through December, you're good.
I guess so. That's really all I need.
Are they going to do that? Have he told you? I mean, how do you?
I have no idea. I don't think anyone knows, you know.
What does the CDC guy at Johns Hopkins say?
Well, I mean, you know, if it's like other coronaviruses, it lasts a year or so, maybe a couple more. We've had coronaviruses before. This is just the shape of the virus itself. Like a rhinovirus is a different shape of the protein code.
So it was your plan just to kind of keep going once a month and seeing if it still works?
Yeah.
Like seeing how the bingo numbers.
Well, my plan
numbers
was just to go and give them as much blood as they want to take, you know? I mean,
you've made a lot of sins over the years. It's how you repay them.
Exactly. This is my little monthly Yom Kippur.
Now, do you get, because I had friends who used to give plasma in college for, rent. And do you get paid for this, or is this, are you doing this for free?
I was like, yeah, while I was here, you want any semen? They're like, no, thanks, it's fine. I didn't, this isn't for money. There are places that will pay you for it. I'm doing okay money wise, so I don't really feel like I'm down to that level. I gotta sell fluids.
Well, what's up with Broadway, speaking of? Are they
I killed it, I guess.
Are they, because comedy is obviously dead. Are you in my same, I mean, is Broadway in my same group or what?
all theater in the Western hemisphere is gone for a while. I was planning on going to see Leopoldstadt in London, and then this happened. And I was going to try to meet Tom Stoppard. I emailed him and he said, well, yeah, let's try to get together. And then, pandemic happened.
So always something with Tom Stoppard. He always gets out of, Tom. He always makes promises.
Not a real,
an excuse, always has an Tom. Excuse.
Yeah.
Tom Starter would be the guy who would get right. things done. But Tom Stoppard.
I tried to, all of Broadway's dead until at least, they think for the end of the year, but the official starting point is potentially Labor Day, but I can't imagine there'll be.
I mean, are they waiting on a vaccine?
I don't know if they're waiting on a vaccine, but they're waiting on, look, Broadway's profit margins are so astronomically low regardless. So they need full houses for it to get anywhere. And if everyone's afraid to go there, so I don't know what,
Well, house might not be allowed, so.
Yeah, and all the actors have to feel safe. All the audience members have to feel safe. That's going to be difficult.
Yeah, but the Carrigan plays, don't you? You're batting 1,000, aren't you, on making money for Broadway?
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, but if Trump
can't
sell out.
Your last one did great.
If Trump can't sell at Oklahoma, I don't know. Carrigan's a great player, but I don't know. Broadway's a little harder to sell out, so yeah. But
Can't make it in Tulsa. Who knows? So, yeah, nothing in Tulsa. Boy, he got.
He didn't have Harry Potter. That's his problem.
That's the trick.
Yeah.
Although he did have all these K-pop teens, buy seats. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, buying the seats isn't the problem. It's the going to the seats. That's where you
right. They didn't. Well, he got all these people, all these middle school activists, got all these tickets and just to not show up.
Yes. Mm. Can I ask a question? What is the? I've been hearing this term K-pop teen. Are these Korean kids? Like, in all seriousness, I'm not kidding.
I wasn't sure. I think it's just kids, American kids who are fans of K-pop.
Is that what it means?
Wait, what is K-pop? I don't even know what that means.
It's Korean.
Korean
popular
pop.
Music.
Yeah, Korean pop. Yeah. It's like, the Korean pop stars. It's like a group of like six girls that dance, like the Spice Girls, but of Korea.
Are they political, the Korean pop stars? Like, why would that demographic?
That's why I'm confused.
Gangnam Style has some political thing going. I don't know. What was his name? I forget his name.
Psy.
Are they fans of Rocket Man? I'm really confused by this.
Well, that's why it's just the type of pop music in Korea, but all of a sudden they are calling these kids K-pop kids. And so
yeah, I don't
know. You guys aren't those.
I don't know.
You're not the experts.
I couldn't tell you.
I thought Carrigan, he's an expert on a lot of things. We finally found something he's not an expert on.
Stumped Carrigan,
the K-pop.
When it comes to music of the Korean Peninsula, pulling my expertise.
You weren't stationed over there at any point in your life.
No, but I do know the guy who's Dennis Rodman's translator while he's in Korea.
Why is he not on the pod? Let's get.
I don't know. I got to get him. He's actually a libertarian too. Guy named Jason Miller.
Dennis Rodman's translator.
He's a. He's a geneticist at Columbia Medicine.
Oh, Turner. There you go. He's like the head of the CDC there.
The CDC.
And he's also the translator for Korea, Dennis Rodman. And
yeah, he goes over to Pyongyang all the time with them to like do these peace talks.
Amazing.
So and he's also a tuba player and an Abraham Lincoln impersonator professional.
Love this guy.
This guy's lived a full life, I gotta say.
You said it. Joe is the strangest human being you've ever met.
So it looks like, comedy clubs are now starting to try to reopen, which is bizarrely in the incorrect move, like wildly wrong as a move.
Yeah.
But certain ones like Arizona, in Dallas.
The worst places to open, too.
The worst spot. Oh, Florida. They're starting to do comedy shows in South Florida right now.
Well, James tried to do something at Stand Up New York a couple weeks ago and got shut down by the cops. And they were like outside and they were completely like 6 feet apart. And but still, the cops shut him down.
James
Altucher? Is that what you're
talking about? Yeah,
Altucher. Oh, yeah. He did. Yes, he did. Yeah. Well, they didn't have, it was illegal. It was not allowed to do, I think, right?
you guys need to be rioting. So,
it was stage one. I mean, phase one or whatever New York's in right now, right?
Right.
We're in phase two. One. Today was the day. We didn't even announce that at the opening. Happy phase two, everybody.
I know, but comedy's in phase four. Like comedy clubs are phase four, as I would imagine Broadway is as well. It's entertainment, which is...
Isn't that the name of a smart ant horror movie?
Here's the problem is that every state has its own phase system. And whatever it is in Maryland is not... Like in Virginia, there's only two phases. In New York, there's four, and they all mean different things.
Open and closed.
There needs to be like a national phase. Like we all know what at least that means and that means and that means, right?
That might mean some, you know, federal leadership. And that seems a little...
That's above. We can't expect that. Federal leadership. What are we? Where do you... Leadership here?
Jeremy, where do you land as a libertarian on all this, like shelter in place and all this kind of stuff?
I think shelter in place has been not terribly effective. You know, I don't know. Gee, this is a tough one. When it comes to epidemiology, I'm not so much of a libertarian when it comes to, like, you know, because every single one of us has like 50 guns shooting off, you know, simultaneously.
Right.
That's
exception to our logic on a lot of things, right?
Yeah. Exactly. So, if a shelter in place order is really necessary, it's like last resort. But
it might have been
necessary. It's necessary.
Yeah.
No,
don't you think? I kind of think the problem is they should have like gone even farther in the beginning. Like they should have
done it earlier
and stronger. And then because it's psychology, people aren't libertarians, but they are in some ways, everybody. And so if you start releasing things earlier, like a little bit more. So we would have gotten back to what we just did after like 3 weeks, then people would have liked it better. Could have lasted longer, you know.
Or, like, you know, if we'd known, we could have tried to protect the, nursing homes more.
Yeah,
we could have done that. So it's all sorts of things that we would have, we could have.
Don't blame Cuomo for that. Not his fault. We're big fans here.
Oh, great. Okay. Well,
No. Say whatever you want. The jury is still out on Governor Cuomo.
I don't know if we could have done anything about it. We just, everybody lives so close together in New York City. I don't know if we can blame him or not.
Well, he was making fun of the virus on like March 23rd, which was very late, about a month after, or at least 2 weeks after.
March 13th, I think you mean. Yeah, but yeah.
No, March 20, as I was fleeing New York City, I was turning on the TV and he was like, out in California, they want a shelter in place. What does that even mean? We'll never do that. And then 2 days later, he's... New York's on pause.
It's a nicer.
It never sheltered in place.
What is it down in Baltimore where you are in? You're in Baltimore now?
I'm in Baltimore County, which is slightly more free than Baltimore City. Everything is open but the restaurants. So, but you got to socially distance or wear a mask.
So you can't outdoor dine?
You can outdoor dine now.
All right.
Which is, that was like...
Because, I mean, you have the antibody, so you, like, I guess this is my...
Yes,
let's
get
to anything,
this.
But, yeah, I guess to say it this way, it's like, do you feel this weird pressure of, like, I'll wear a mask so people don't look down on me even when I'm, like, I don't need it? What do you do?
Basically why I wear clothes to begin with. I just don't want any uncomfortable conversations. So if I want to put on a mask just to make everybody feel better. I mean, that's why I wore a tie for however long I did. So, like, whatever. Just don't yell at me. That's all I care about.
You almost should get a t-shirt that says I have the antibodies.
Yeah. That'd be great.
Right?
Not quite like a star. That's a little sensitive, but like something. Some sort of
like a star-bellied sneech.
Some sort of patch or like a picture or something.
Well, it's like it's informative as well. Let's waiters, waitresses know they can come up to your table. They don't have to worry.
You can speak for the table almost. Like you can be the person they come to you if you're because you're your family have it.
You can complain for the table.
My wife had it, and my daughter I think had it. We didn't have her tested.
Oh man!
So you're a family of superheroes.
That's right. I can't quite, one of the things I did not predict is when we went to these things, we went to these restaurants that are just opening up now, menus have gone away and they've been replaced by those little QR codes that you scan and you look on your phone to see what they have to order.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I thought, hey, this is great. I wish they do this. I hope maybe this will go away all the time now.
I can tell you that was going on in China probably 10 years, maybe not 10 years ago, but at least the last couple of years I was there, which meaning like 2013, 14, 15, 16, a lot. And that's also how you pay at a lot of bars and restaurants in China.
Oh, I love that.
Is you scan your QR code and it links to your bank account. you know, whatever the app would be for your bank. And
like
then,
the Power Up.
Yeah. Right? And then that's, you want to buy a beer, like in our comedy club that we, in 2015, we had this system where you could pay by scanning your, to get a beer at the bar.
I love the near field communication, the RFID thing, the Apple Pay, but that just, I love doing that. I just, cause I'm going to lose my keys. I'm going to lose my wallet. I'm going to lose my phone. But if I have one of these, I'm okay now.
Yeah. Well, I will say you feel pretty cool doing it too. It feels like the novelty of just paying for some, like people would come get a beer just so they could test it out, you know?
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Pretty good. Yeah.
You just scan the beer? Like how does it?
No, no, no. There's a, the menu has that like square.
Okay.
Kind of, I guess that's a QR code, right? The square.
So you put your phone up to the thing, the QR code, and then it downloads the, what you can order onto your phone.
No, you, each menu item has, I think, or each price would have a different QR code. Maybe is that, that might be the way you did it. And then you scan whatever price your drink was and it, the money comes out of your bank account into the club's bank account. And then, and then you get the beer. Know. They just give it
to
you.
I'm old fashioned.
Yeah.
I like to argue about the charge, all these things that I enjoy. I like to peruse. Do they have like in Europe where there's like, oh, you ever go to a fancy restaurant and women are given a menu that doesn't have prices?
No.
Because they're the guests. Well, I love that I don't, you know, now you don't, you know, especially in New York, well, my Mandarin's terrible. If I were in China, I could order without having to tell them what it is that I wanted.
Yeah.
Oh, that's,
so
that's
in New York with all the different people with the accents, I don't have to tell them. They get it. And it's,
you don't
it's
have to talk to people.
Yeah, they exactly. I don't have to talk to them.
Now, can we talk about this, where we were with you in early March? Because this was fascinating to me. This whole
February.
This is a world that I didn't know existed, which is almost the way what you were. Okay, you'd written this play, right? You'd written a new play. You need to test. Stop me if I'm wrong, but it felt like you need to test it out. And I can, and then this is a way to almost like how I workshop material on stage. If you've written a play, you can't do the workshopping. Is that the way, is that, was the purpose of that?
We did do a reading. Yeah. We did do a reading at a gorgeous house.
It was some fancy house.
Yeah. That was really something. Yeah. We did a reading just for me to look for cuts and stuff and put it before some producers and, yeah, and I got to see it and make some changes, and I'm still working on it, but it's.
And you had excellent little hot dogs, some spread this house had.
Well, that was.
Well, so what this
I
is.
I had no idea it was going to be that fancy.
Yeah, I'm never going to have passed hors d'oeuvres again, so, or for a while, so.
You're right. That was our last hurrah of eating hors d'oeuvres.
Divorce. You got to divorce Randy and get married again.
Oh, there's going to be weddings again?
Oh, God. So just to explain to the listener what this was, it was. You written the play, you're doing a reading of it and you have four or five actors and they're on a stage, but almost like sitting. And then they would stand up one by one. They were reading it. It was a reading.
Yeah. Turner's never seen a reading before.
I don't know if most people have ever seen a reading before.
Yeah.
And this is in front of like 50 schmoozy. Kaplan and I kept talking about how this was like a Curb Your Enthusiasm episode. This is a place where Larry David would be. Like fancy event where people are watching a play reading at someone's house.
Right. One of his friends. Yeah.
His house was amazing. This would happen at Ted Danson's house or something. We're all going over to watch this play reading. And are you making notes in the back of the room? This is my question to you. Okay. So half of the reason why you're doing this is so you can kind of see how it's read and be like, oh, that didn't hit like I thought it would, or we need to change that move.
Yeah. Imagine it's like an open mic.
You want to hear, the pressure was on us to laugh at the right points, not to laugh to for the sake of laughter. Like you want honest laughter. So that was great. That was very helpful. We were helpful.
Right. Sure. Exactly. I just want to know what's working and what's not, excuse me one moment.
No problem.
Anyways, there's a huge thunderstorm here coming here. That's why. All right. So the question was, the first reading you'd ever been to?
Ever.
He's
where would I go? I'm no socialite. I'm no Manhattan.
I mean, I've only been to screenplay readings. I've never been to a play in a house like this. This is above my norm too.
Jeremy, I'm a dirty stand-up comedian. I'm not. Right. I'm not in the high society Robert De Niro world that Kaplan lives in. You know.
Yeah. Right. Well, actually, oddly enough, the first table read of that play, my brother-in-law comes along. And goes, oh, I'd like to see what that's like. He's from India. And that's thunder in the background.
Wow.
So he's from India. And he goes, oh, that was the first play I'd ever seen. He goes, oh, he was like, oh, it was your first play reading. I was like, no, that was the first play I'd ever seen, ever.
Yeah. Like,
never saw a play in high school? And he said, no. Never,
like, no interest.
No, not very cultured.
No, just like in India, it was just like you study and you go home and you eat and you study again.
Well, that's so the same. There's not a lot of plays running through Suzhou, China. You know,
you when I told him that's what a play is. Don't tell him that was that there's more to it. You know, we don't wear costumes or anything. You just sit and read the script. You don't have to memorize your lines. Easy.
Right. And then eventually came to see, Lifespan of a Fact on Broadway. And that was his first play in public.
Fantastic play. Love it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And what's going on now? Is this play on hold because of the corona, or is it like, do you have plans?
As good as mine. We got a few theaters that want to do it starting in the fall. We had a lot of theaters do it last year before civilization died. But now that.
You're talking about Lifespan of a Fact or the new play we came to watch?
Lifespan. So
it was everywhere. It was in Singapore for a while, right? Because we have listeners around the world. So
yes, yeah. The Singapore production apparently was really good. I couldn't get to that. That was right while Corona was happening, but Singapore handled it pretty well.
Oh, so it was helping spread.
Yeah, right. Yeah, of course. Unfortunately,
because it gets a lot of laughter.
Don't worry, Jeremy. No one listens to this show, so you're not gonna. This won't be quoted.
No, it's a compliment
anywhere.
Because your stuff's very funny, and it's more people viral laughing, the more it's gonna spread. So,
right. Yeah,
if you wrote boring stuff, it wouldn't be a problem. Right.
Aren't you glad you came back to this podcast?
Oh God! Now you're making me feel even more guilty.
No,
I'm like Typhoid Mary.
A compliment, highest compliment I could call if you.
Typhoid Maury. Come on, Maury. People. So, anyways, yeah, the Singapore people were really good. They want to do it, I think, in London. That was a huge hit there. We had it in Heidelberg, Germany. It's going to be in Chicago this autumn. So that's still got a life, I guess. If we haven't blown up the world by then,
we'll be good. December. Just hang. That's what the CDC of Harvard says. Hang on till December and we'll be back. All right. Jeremy, anything we missed? Cap, did I miss anything here?
Well, I wanted to ask Jeremy a real quick question because, you know, people looking at this on our YouTube might not believe this, but you and I met in CrossFit.
That's right.
And I explained the story to Turner on the air the other day about how CrossFit sort of got canceled. I'm looking for a new cult. Do you still do CrossFit, or what are your stance on the whole?
I don't think anybody does CrossFit right now. I think I don't know. I am just trying to swim and bike as much as possible.
Am I allowed to go back, you think, or should I just never do it again? I don't want to be,
I think maybe
canceled.
Do bar. Could you do bar?
Oh, bar.
Ashtanga yoga. What's the new thing? Orange Theory.
Do we know if they're leaders though? I want to make sure none of their leaders are say anything stupid. Like I need to look into them first. I don't want to get really into Ashtanga yoga and then the person says something about
poor,
you know,
Greg Glassman. the poor guy just told the truth about how he feels. I'm sorry.
Big mistake in today's climate. Do not tell the truth about how you feel. You run it by your PR, your publicist. If you're in a business, don't
turns out, you know, we knew he was weird, but we didn't think he'd be that weird.
Exactly.
All right. But thanks, man.
Yeah. This is
you're
fun.
Very welcome. This fun was fun. I'm glad I've done this.
I hear
let
the,
us know if you're back to New York.
Yes.
I will do.
And I hear the thunder hitting you. So I think in Virginia, I'm about 30 minutes away from that hitting me. So,
yeah. All right. Well, good luck on whatever this nor'easter is. All right.
All right. Have a good one, Jeremy.
Take it easy. So long. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Kaplan. Let's get to the news.
Play the music.
Thanks to Jeremy Kerrigan for doing the podcast. I'm glad he's healthy, by the way. We should have said that to him, to his face.
Yeah, I think he was a little hurt that I think we showed such lack of compassion.
Not a lot of compassion out of us on that episode.
You don't get it. It's not a compassionate pod.
Interested in the facts. It's not our fault.
We're journalists. We can't show. Once you show compassion, you let your guard down.
Yes, I think. Is that the rule? I'm not sure. First news story of the week. Anyway, shout out to him. Thank you. And his play's fantastic. If you get a chance to see Lifespan of Effect anywhere in the world, go check it out. First story of the week.
Hopefully that play that I don't even know the name. We didn't really talk about the plot, but it was hilarious. The one with the that we saw the reading of about the Assyrian king was much like, it was like a spoof a little bit on modern times and Trump and everything. It was hilarious. I hope it gets going once this is all over.
I hope it does as well, because I think it's that's going to be the next big one. All right. First news story of the week comes to us from Adrian Wojnarowski.
A Woj bomb.
A Woj bomb. Portland Trailblazers forward Trevor Ariza is opting out of participating in the NBA's Orlando restart of the season. Now, for anyone who doesn't know what all those words mean combined into one sentence, the NBA is coming back, they've announced, in late July. In Orlando, everyone, all the NBA players, all the teams are flying to Orlando. They're all going to live at the Disney grounds, the Disney campus, whatever you might call it, the Disney resort, and living in hotels, playing in it's 1, 2, 3 gyms. And they're going to have the entire season without fans at these gyms. Now
they're going to finish the last like 8 games of the season.
Eight. They're going to do 8 more regular season games, and then they're going to do the playoffs. But it's going to last 2 or 3 months. All right there in Orlando. I mean, if you make it to the very end, you have to stay there 2 to 3 months. Now, some of the players have complained about this, and the league decided, well, if the players don't want to come, they don't have to come. I think no penalty, right? They don't get a reduced salary.
There is I think there's a small salary penalty. I'm not sure, but it's not big. Yeah, mostly.
Well,
I'm not sure exactly, but he's, what would you do? Would you?
Well, he's the first, this is news because this came out 27 minutes ago while breaking it on the pod here. He's the first person I know of in the NBA who said, I'm definitely not going. Also, big news for me, because he was on the Sacramento Kings up until a month before the lockdown, and we traded him, and good thing we did, because now he's just quitting on his team. So
Vladdy makes moves. He plays chess when everyone's playing checkers. Exactly. He understood. He knew that if we got to this point, I mean, I can understand why he'd be upset, because when they said Disneyland World, as someone who's been there, when they said this was the idea, they were deciding between Disney World and Vegas. So if it was Vegas, I guarantee you they're all going.
Kaplan, I'm going. I would go if it was Six Flags.
Yeah, well,
I want there to be more roller coasters. My whole problem, I'm not going. If it's Disney, I'm not going. Here's why. Listen, there's this big buildup. Ooh, you get to Disney. Ooh, you get to Disney. It's going to be great. And you get there. What is it really? It's Splash Mountain, which is one drop. And then it's Space Mountain. It's all a mountain. Space Mountain, which you just go around in circles. There's no loop-diddy-loops on Space Mountain. Everything else is the teacups. You're sitting around. But you go out to a Six Flags, a Great Adventure, a Great America, one of these places, you get 15, 20 different roller coasters. So I would say I'm only going if it's at a real roller coaster.
Well, I think, I don't know if they're going to get to use the rides. I think that what really happened here is
I'm definitely out.
Trevor Ariza did, you know, he started doing research when they were saying it. He starts looking at the hotels. And I've been to Disney World. They have all these theme hotels. They have an Animal Kingdom. You have a hotel where you go outside and there's like giraffes at your balcony. We stayed in one of those. They have a hotel that's like, you have Cars themed room, the movie Cars and Little Mermaid and all this stuff. Like you get Lion King beds, you get everything's. So he's probably looking at this and saying like, we're going to get some cool hotel. I'll bring the family. It'll be a great vacation. And then what did they do? The NBA went with like the ritziest, most boring hotels in the area. It's no fun.
Oh, they got born. They didn't even get those hotels.
They got the nice, like the Grand Floridian or something. It's just like, it's like where it's like the families that are the rich families who go to Disney World who aren't fun, who don't care about all the kids.
Yeah, like the Hilton Resort, whatever, something like that.
Yeah, and they will have like Mickey's at brunch in those places, like if you're into that. But I don't know if the NBA players get to have brunch with Mickey.
Here's my question. What adults are really, I mean, I know my wife used to work at Disney, so I got to be careful here because she's really into it. But are there a lot of NBA players who are just upset? What are they going to be doing? Wearing the Mickey ears when they're playing and sitting on this bench? You know, is it that big of a deal to go to Disney for these guys?
No, it's not. And I think, I mean, it's going to be an interesting thing because these guys are going to, like, the rules are so crazy. They have this whole, like, 200 pages of health violation. Like, where the guys are.
They got to get nose swabbed every day. They got to get a needle stuck up their nose. Special rings
that can tell you if you have coronavirus 3 days in advance. And they're not allowed to play doubles ping pong, which is one of the favorite highlights, which is hilarious because they're going to be playing basketball together. But they can't play doubles ping pong.
That is ridiculous.
And the cards games are going to be late. These late night cards games, these guys are all inspired. They all were watching The Last Dance. They all are going to be wanting to gamble more than ever. So these late night cards games are going to be epic, but like they're not allowed to share the decks. They have to, they're going to give them like hundreds and hundreds of decks so they don't.
Pretty wild.
It's going to be a disaster. I think we all agree now that Florida is becoming a disaster that this is probably.
Well, they're doing this in the new epicenter. It's like saying we're going to restart the league. Let's do it in Wuhan.
Yeah, it seemed like a great idea 2 months ago when Florida was writing stories about how they dodged the bullet, but whoops.
Whoops. All right, next story of the week. With zoo, this comes to us from Shanghai, Kaplan, the Shanghaiist, our friends over there. With zoo closed to visitors, pandas finally bang after 10 years of trying. How about that, Cap? So this is the Hong Kong. This is down in Hong Kong, Ocean Park, which is one of the famous parks out there. They've had these zoos. I mean, they've had these pandas. They've been trying to get them banged for 10 years. They won't do it. They won't do it. They won't do it. Finally, everybody leaves. And what happens? They get busy.
How do they know they got busy? Because one got pregnant? Or
well, they probably have security cameras or something.
So was it so they were trying to, you think they thought they were like, oh, this guy's gay, this panda.
Yeah, probably. Turns out they're just shy.
He's like, yeah, not everyone's a voyeur. He's like, not a, you know, it's not
an exhibitionist. Not everyone's an exhibitionist. They're not into that. Yeah. They want a little privacy.
Frees up with the pressure. Exactly.
So they got some time to themselves. So maybe that's what it should be. Maybe if you want to bring the pandas are endangered, as last time I checked. If you want to bring them back, you put them in a place where they're on their own. You don't put them with thousands of mouth breathers sitting around throwing popsicles down at them.
And little do these poor pandas know that every school in the world is distance learning. One of the real go-tos of these teachers who don't really want to pack it in one day and don't really feel like giving them any work to do, they give them a virtual field trip and they just pick a zoo. That's
oh really?
My kids have gotten multiple virtual field trips to the San Diego Zoo, every zoo in the country they've gotten. So these pandas have no idea that every 6 and 7 and 8 year old in the world is watching them on these cameras and getting an education. So they gotta. That's the irony.
So they gotta keep banging. That's it.
They gotta teach them.
Gotta learn them. Kaplan.
Now I know. Now I understand some of the questions I've been getting. They've been in the other room. I don't know why. Ruby's like, why these pandas are wrestling? What's going on? They don't seem like they're fighting.
They're watching pandas bang.
There you go.
America's youth.
Yeah, I'm going to put that. We got it. We'll get to this next week, but Ruby graduates kindergarten tomorrow virtually. And I'm sure when she has to give a speech, I'm sure that'll come up.
So. Kaplan, by day, these kids are watching pandas bang. By night, they're listening to hooligans set off fireworks throughout their neighborhood. It's a hell of a life.
They're growing up. They're growing up fast.
City kids grow up
city,
fast.
Real city kids.
Real city kids. Cap, that's the podcast.
Yeah. Speaking of city kids and everything, I've got to run. Sorry to cut it short a little. I'm going to today. We entered phase two. They opened up barbershops and I made an appointment like a week before I made an appointment. So I'm going, me and Teddy are going right now to cut our jufros off. Check out the YouTube today to see what I look like before. Cause I'm going to clean it up for next week.
How about that? Haircut
cap. I'm off before they shut it down again.
All right. Thank you to Jeremy Kerrigan cap from, what should we do?
It's about time I get lost.
Get lost.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet.
BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more, find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards. Save